The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Hey, we welcome you back. Great to have you here. There's some news on next week's Georgia-Florida game concerning the quarterback situation at UGA. We'll have that for you in just a few minutes. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Jim is up next. Good afternoon, Jim.
So Richardson's going to start, no doubt about that, right? Come on, Paul. I mean, can't I break the news without a day before?
Yeah, well, the game's not until next week. Which game are we talking about?
Well, whatever. We know that Richardson will start. That's the breaking news, I think.
Actually, you're not right about that, but that's okay.
I'm right that he'll start. Wait and see.
I don't know whether he will or not. But the news coming out involves Georgia's quarterback situation, not Florida's.
Okay, fine. Hey, Paul. You know, I'm loving Cubes now. He's great. He's a great guy. I mean, I'm loving Cubes. Rams okay. I've got a problem. There's a pain in your show now.
What is that?
You know, the other guy that answers the phone. I mean, he's giving me a hard time.
Hold on. Let me.
I don't want him on there, Paul.
No,
I don't want him on there. I got
exactly,
other big news, all right?
I want to hear from the other guys. Who is he? So you're speaking of Jamari, right?
I don't know who I'm speaking of. I told you I didn't want to talk about it on air.
Well, no, I just wanted to make sure. So it's not Brams, but we only have two people.
It's not Brams, and it's not Cubes. I can tell you. They're both okay. Cubes is great. I love Cubes.
Yeah, but it's Jamari.
Hey, Paul,
Jamari.
I got something for you, though.
Okay.
I got something for you, all right?
Surprising. Yeah, go ahead.
Surprising. I guess surprising that I'm complaining. Is that what you're saying?
No, I just – I'm glad you like two of the three people that we have backstage.
Well, like Meatloaf made a great song. Two out of three ain't bad, Paul.
1978.
All I can say is 2 out of 3 ain't bad, especially on the Feinbaum. I started to say the other word, but I'll say show instead of the other word.
So, okay. Well,
something for you, Paul.
Well, let me have it.
Your boy, your favorite boy from Ohio, I almost had him talked into calling about 20 minutes ago, but he said he's not in the mood right now, but he's got hot stuff, hot stuff. I mean, I really believe he's on target, but I don't know if he'll call or not, but he's got something good. He's got some stuff that I believe is true, and I wish he'd call in and give it to you. And one more. Go ahead.
No, I didn't say anything. I was just pondering.
Oh, I thought you said something.
No.
All right. Well, the other thing is you were about 10 seconds late on the guy, Scotty. I was about to scream about that Malzahn. Is that Malzahn's uncle or half-brother? I mean, who in the world ever thought about I'm not going to talk ball. You know I don't talk ball, but I'm talking people now. You didn't get him off fast enough, Paul. Scotty, a while ago, you know, the guy, you know, you remember?
Yeah, no, I know what you're talking about. I do.
I mean, oh, my goodness. I mean, you know, oh, my goodness, Paul. That'll fry somebody's eardrums, stuff like that.
Well, Jim, thanks for the call. That was great. How about Matthew in Missouri? Hello, Matthew.
Hi, Mr. Paul. I wanted to say about 2 months ago I was listening and you had some crazy KU person call in and tried to argue how great KU was going to be, and I just was rolling. But anyway, I'm calling for a whole different reason. I'm excited about Missouri football in the future, but this year, you're the expert in SEC. I'm not. My eyeball test, we have the worst running defense. You know the product. Missouri's how disappointing it's been. A lot of people just think we're going to beat Vanderbilt. Do you think it's pretty – I mean, I think, unfortunately, as a Missouri fan, that you've got to have a lot of argument why we are the worst SEC football. The toilet bowl is a week from Saturday. Anyway, I'll take my answer off the air.
Yeah, I think anything I say will just be stating the obvious in terms of the disappointment. I thought – Eli Drinkwitz's hiring of Steve Wilks was really going to solve a lot of problems. So far, it hasn't. He's the defensive coordinator, at least he is now. Let's talk to Gary in Ohio. Hello, Gary. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you for the call.
Hey, you're more than welcome, man. I called you and complimented you a couple weeks back on, number one, your fairness toward Ohio State and the Big Ten, and number two, toward you belong in the College Football Hall of Fame. Most importantly, I wanted to talk about a different subject, and that is, looking forward, it was a brilliant move by the SEC, obviously, to attract Oklahoma and Texas. Now, the downside of that, perhaps, is looking forward to who makes up the voters of the CFP. Those are primarily ADs from the Power Five and or former ADs of the Power Five conferences. Mostly, right?
Correct.
Okay, so if I look back to what just happened with the Alliance or the Big Ten, the SEC, the ACC, and obviously the Big 12 is not endeared to the SEC. Now you've got four of the five Power Five conferences who probably are not really excited about voting in more than one SEC team unless they have to.
Well, Gary, remember something. I think there are 13 people on this committee. So I know that we all think they have certain biases coming into the room, but I frankly don't think they do. If Alabama beats Georgia, and they're both, if Alabama's 12-1, and Georgia's the same, then they're both going to the playoff. It doesn't matter about whether anybody is biased or not. Chris is up next in Gulf Shores. Hey, Chris.
Tennessee week, my brother.
Yeah, I had a friend of mine text me today saying, "Hey, it's Tennessee week," and I'm like, "Going where?"
All right, now I know a lot of the hatred and the vitriol has calmed down, especially since Pat Phil finally got out of Knox Vegas and everything, but it's still Tennessee week. And I have to say this, now that the fat one ain't there no more, I actually have a little, not like, don't confuse the two, I have a little bit of respect for what they've done so far this year. They've kind of surprised me. By the way, since you seem to have inside knowledge on your alma mater, what's the latest on that starting quarterback? Is he going to get to play?
We don't know. I would think if he plays, he is going to be a sitting duck. or maybe I should say a wounded duck.
A wounded duck? You think Will Anderson's going to have him in his targets, huh? Well, I this one has me a little bit concerned, Paul, and hear me out now. I know you're thinking, oh, he's lost his daggum mind again. But with that hooker dude, they've been able to score points. So if he's well, and then so much rat poison surrounding this game. Who came up with the harebrained idea to schedule a Tennessee for homecoming? I thought that was reserved for the Mercers and
well, you know, but Chris, I've seen somebody, because last week we were in Kentucky or Georgia, and that was homecoming. I think homecoming is moving up this year. I don't know why, but it just seems earlier.
Well, I don't know. And then you got that, and then Alabama's off next week, and they always seem to play their worst the week before they're off. Too much rat poison, Paul. Too much rat poison.
Yeah, Chris, my crack back to you would be you're in Alabama too long thinking idiotic things like that.
Well, you know, we got to come up with something to make it interesting. Okay?
No, listen, I fully understand that, and I don't know when the last time I have not been either in Knoxville or Tuscaloosa for this game, but I'm not going to be. But
you're not?
No, I'm not.
Where will you be?
Oxford.
Oh, the Ole Miss, they're playing LSU, aren't they?
Yeah, I wanted to see I wanted to see Ed O one more time before he left. Chris, we have some breaking news. Let me get to it right now that involves next week's big game. Georgia coach Kirby Smart says that the quarterback JT Daniels and Stetson Bennett will play in the Florida game. Stetson Bennett. What was that? So they will both play, and apparently JT Daniels has been cleared. So exactly what that means, we're really not sure. We've been waiting for the return of JT Daniels, whether, you know, this means one Stetson will continue to start, which is the expectation, by the way. But the game's still a week and 2 days away, so we'll have plenty of time to get clarification from Kirby Smart on exactly what that means. And it does not come as a big surprise. We are heading to a break. Much more to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
It wasn't that long ago when three of his schools departed, three big names in UCF, Houston, and Cincinnati. Of course, Cincinnati, the number two team in the country. Commissioner, good afternoon, and how are you?
Hi, Paul. How are you doing? I'm fine, thank you.
So tell us about the news.
Well, you know, it was a quiet Thursday, pretty routine day, not much going on. It's been the last few months. It's been an interesting time. As you know, Paul, you know, we didn't start this, and yet it had ramifications for us, as you just alluded to. But I think we've come out in a good place. I think we've strengthened the conference, and I know there'll be some naysayers, or always are, but there were plenty back in 2012 and 13, as you recall. But, you know, you tune out the noise and you try to stick to your vision. You know, we know who we are, Paul, as a conference, and we know how we built this, and I think we can do it again. And I think the DNA of these schools is they want to compete. They're willing to invest. We had a lot of schools who were interested in us, and we only talked to, incidentally, the ones that were. We didn't go out and tap people on the shoulder and ask them if they were interested. And we chose schools that we felt, you know, had the resources, could enhance their programs with the ESPN exposure. And I can't overstate how important that is, ESPN support and exposure. The transfer portal is going to become more and more important in the future. And these schools are in a position to capitalize on that because they're in places where there are a lot of great players who might want to come home. And you have to look at that. And we're in rich recruiting areas. They will invest. They will pay their coaches. They're in big cities. That's typically part of our DNA and part of who we are. And we promote the league, as you know. And I think this gives us a chance to schedule intelligently and strategically and gives us a lot of inventory. A lot of positives here. I think you're going to see some people say, well, you know, some of these schools haven't achieved a lot. Yet, but they're young and they're going to, and the others have. Others have been very successful. Obviously, UTSA is in the top 25 now. UAB's have been winning Conference USA. FAU has won Conference USA. I think they'll be good additions, Paul.
Christian, I would agree. I'm very familiar with a couple of those and their programs. UAB has just opened a brand new stadium, and certainly Charlotte has a lot going, and you mentioned a few others. But still, the critics out there are going to point toward some of the schools that you've been defending most recently, Cincinnati. We had you on a couple of months ago before last year's CFP, and we heard what you had to say about them, and you were right. I mean, they're a major power. Houston, UCF has certainly been in the conversation. So how do you explain losing those three and replacing them by a lot of perspective teams that are prospectively good, but clearly aren't in the same league right now?
Yeah, some of them aren't, and you know, we applaud what Cincinnati's doing, and you know, we're very supportive. And the fact is, Paul, should they somehow make the playoff, and you never know, they will have done it in our conference, and we will have helped build their program. They did a lot for us, but we did a lot for them. We did a lot for UCF. We did a lot for Houston. If they had not played in our conference, I doubt they'd be in the Big 12 now, and I don't know whether that'll be a good thing for them long-term or not. Who knows? We'll see. But the point is, it works both ways, and this conference has elevated programs. It's elevated schools. When we started, you remember, in 2013, we were essentially given up for dead. And people said, there's no way, why are they bothering? And look what we did. It was remarkable, and it still is. And I think this can happen again with schools like UAB. You know, that story really resonates. You know, their program was disbanded, and now they're back, and they've got a brand-new stadium. They obviously have a really good coach and a good program, and they'll elevate themselves in our league. You know, these schools have just not had the exposure. They haven't had the opportunity. This was an opportunity they very much wanted, and now they'll get it. And I think they're all willing to invest. We talked to them extensively about that, how important it is. And Paul, you know, yeah, it's not going to be easy to replace those schools. But remember, something I think you have to keep in mind, Texas and Oklahoma are essentially irreplaceable in some ways because of the brands they are, you know. And the schools that we're losing are really good schools. They've done great. But, you know, they haven't always been the best schools in our conference. All the schools in our conference competed extremely well with them over the years, you know, whether it was Tulsa against UCF or whether Temple all the 4 or 5 years had those great teams. Navy's done extremely well. You know, we've got Memphis has gone to the Cotton Bowl. Memphis was one of our top teams for a number of years. You know, Cincinnati's done a great job with Luke, and I think they'll have a great program. Houston, you know, again, they did some nice things in our conference, but it's not as though other schools haven't competed with them and can't raise their profiles. So we can now get schools who I think, you know, like a UTSA, there's so much potential there. You know, the market, the DNA they have, the ability to recruit. You know, San Antonio is a huge market. You know, you look at UAB. North Texas won 9 games 2 years in a row a few years ago. I believe they beat Arkansas. You know, this is a team that has struggled recently, but in our league now they'll get the exposure. They'll have that rivalry enhanced with SMU. You know, you look at Rice. Okay, they're going to add a lot, obviously, in other ways to our conference, but also competitively. There was a time, you know, not in the ancient history when they actually went to several bowl games in a row and you know, did well. And in our conference, they're committed to investing. They've got that pedigree, the old Southwest Conference pedigree. Sure, it was a long time ago. But I think they'll invest, and I think they're going to surprise you. You know, Paul, again, you have to take the longer view here. We're trying to get into the next decade in a strong position. You know, 14 teams gives us a cushion. It gives us a strength in numbers. We looked and said, well, we could take 4. You know, we did want to strengthen our position in Texas. That was important. You know, that's a fulcrum for this conference. But we also looked east and said, you know, FAU, it brings another team in Florida. And, it, you know, Charlotte's got a lot going for it. The great AD, they, Mike Hill, you know, they've really invested. I think they're the future there. You know that city, Paul. You know the whole area where we're in. Also, we've created greater geographical cohesion than we've ever had, which will help us in basketball and Olympic sports. And again, we've got some teams that were struggling. They're clearly coming back. You know, ECU is coming back. USF is starting to come back. Temple will come back. This will be a good league. I'm totally convinced. And by the way, we're not giving up our goals. I mean, the DNA of this league is to be challenging, to challenge, you know, be aspirational. And people say, well, your A6 thing is dead. No, it's not dead. And the reason it isn't dead is because, one, this is a group of schools that is going to compete well, I guarantee you. And again, ESPN exposure and promotion and the promotion you know, we as a league do is going to matter. But the key thing I think people overlook, the Big 12, for example, loses Texas and Oklahoma. I think we can be, you know, as good a league. And if we are, then what's, how do you keep us out? Maybe you've kept us out before because you said, well, you didn't have those couple of marquee teams or the one or two marquee teams. SEC's got seven or eight of them maybe. But
Commissioner, if I could interrupt, are you suggesting that you're on the same level with the Big 12 right now?
No, I don't know whether we are or not. I really don't. I think the league as constituted right now certainly, you know, would be close. But again, what Texas Oklahoma meant to the league in terms of, you know, the P5 and in terms of, you know, the amount of money they were drawing and all of that, that does matter. So all I'm saying is, what if we develop competitiveness and what if we end up with, you know, several top 25 teams regularly? What if these programs do as well as we've done in the past? At that point, aren't we a lot more similar? But there's that arbitrary thing about, well, they had those two marquee schools. And again, I don't want to.
So you're saying you could be as good as the Big 12, if I understood you correctly. Is that right?
I hope to be, absolutely. Okay. Down the road, absolutely. I hope to be as good as the ACC. I hope to be as good as the Pac-12. This is aspirational, Paul. I don't know whether we're going to be. I don't want to be quoted as saying, oh, we're definitely going to be.
But Commissioner, does it feel frustrating, though, to have built a league, to be proud of it, to be arguing legitimately last year about Cincinnati and maybe again this year and then have them leave you behind?
That's a fair question, Paul. But you know what? In the end, you can't take it personally, and you also realize that realignment is a fact of life in college athletics. Teams go for where they think there are greener pastures, where there is potentially more money, where there's potentially more exposure, more prestige. Now, whether the Big 12 is going to prove to be that for those teams, I don't know. You don't know. None of us know. But the point is, they felt it was. And because they are still at this point a P5 by virtue of whatever, those schools felt that was an attractive alternative. It's a blow in the short term. You have to then think long term and how can you overcome it. But I don't, you know, I understand it. Is it frustrating? You build a great league and it was a terrific league, and we didn't have some of the advantages. We fought hard. I think we were on the cusp. We wrote a long letter, as you know, to the chairs of the P5 conferences, you know, stating our case, and I think we stated it well. So sure, it's frustrating, but you know, you can't take it personally. You move on. And by the way, I applaud those schools for what they've done. I credit them for helping build our league, but I also credit our league for helping build their brand. And as I said earlier, if Cincinnati wins the championship, that would be a remarkable achievement, and it would have happened in our league. And it shows what this league can do. And we haven't had any of the advantages, Paul, as you know, of a P5 league. So I'm hoping that the same aggressiveness, the same, as I said, DNA will vault us into the picture again. I love being, you know, a fly in the ointment, so to speak. I love being a conference that, you know, gets a lot of attention. We're not the Big Ten in the SEC, Paul. We never said we were. But we get a lot of attention, as you know. And I think it's good for our schools. It allows them to elevate their programs and try to play at the highest level. It doesn't make our kids, our student-athletes, our players feel like second-class citizens. You know, they feel like they're competing at a high level. And I think so. Again, we'll see where it goes. I think we've been underestimated before, Paul. I think people will underestimate us at their peril. I mean, we were clearly underestimated in previous years, and look what we did. And you could look at a lot of those programs, and people would have said what they could say now. Wow, they're not the kind of programs that are going to be competing at that level. Well, they did, and I think they will again.
Commissioner, it's always a pleasure to have you. I certainly understand your role, and we always appreciate you being with us. Good day, and I hope you'll come back.
Always great to be with you, Paul. Thank you. And appreciate what you do for college football. Great to be with you.
Hope to see you soon, Commissioner. Thank you very much. Mike Oresko, a former executive at both ESPN and CBS, now the commissioner of the American. And, I think he said all he could say. But when you lose Cincinnati, Houston, and UCF, and you replace them with good schools, but nobody in that tier,
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we welcome all of you back. I appreciate the commissioner joining us. We got a call not long ago from a lady in Camden, Alabama, that mentioned some very sad news that her father had passed away, Joe Brown, who had called the show a number of times and was a very long time and loyal viewer and listener. And we certainly send our very, very best and deepest condolences to the Brown family down in Alabama. Let's get back to the calls at 855-242-7285. And Bob is up next. Hey, Bob, go right ahead.
How you doing, Paul?
We're doing well. Thank you, Bob.
My prayers go out to the Brown family, too. I have a question that I'd like for you to clear up for me and the rest of the 90,000 Tennessee fans that wasn't involved in the big mess.
Okay.
Sure. And it's a question about the Matt Corral fumble, scoop six, and Tennessee scored a touchdown. I want to know what the final call was from the referees.
I'm trying to remember. They gave him the score, didn't they?
No, they didn't give Tennessee the score.
Okay.
They
Okay, you're talking about when Corral – okay, yeah, I'm sorry. You are correct. I got confused when you said Corral. No, you're right. That was not ruled a touchdown, obviously.
Yeah, but why was it not ruled a touchdown? What did the referee say?
I'll have to go back. I tell you what, I will ask Jordan Rogers tomorrow. He was on the call. I really simply do not remember. There were so many confusing calls in that game. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. We'll get that cleared up tomorrow. Joe is in Pittsburgh. Hey, Joe, go right ahead. Didn't hear Joe. We'll try Sean in Tennessee. Hello, Sean.
Hello, Paul.
Hey there.
I just got one thing to say. That was horrible what the Tennessee fans did. It was awful. But people that live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. If you will look it up, I believe it's 2017. I may be off a year or so. When Tennessee and Admiral Schofield and Grant beat them on their home floor, they were being pelted by cups, coins, and anything else they could get their hands on. And I don't think they were fined $250,000. And I'm not making it any less than it was. It was awful both ways. But I'm sick of hearing about Tennessee fans are awful. That is not the majority of Tennessee fans. The majority of Tennessee fans are respectful. We don't want to see that. But it has happened to us. By Ole Miss.
Listen, I don't know what a basketball game, regardless of how outrageous it was, has anything to do with what we saw Saturday night. But thanks for your call anyway. Let's continue with Rob in Kentucky. Hey, Rob, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, how's it going?
Very well.
I have a question. I was listening to the commissioner of the AAC a while ago, and I can't wrap my head around it. The teams that are replacing Cincinnati, Houston, so forth, is mostly the bottom of even the Sun Belt Conference. You got the fan bases at Marshall and Western Kentucky, who have great programs, great history, and not even getting, you know, looked at all. I don't understand it. I was going to get your take on that.
Yeah, I listen. I came away pretty underwhelmed by his rationale. I mean, it's obvious. He got pickpocketed, okay? I mean, he lost. I mean, Mike Oresca was on this program last December for 25 minutes arguing the virtues of Cincinnati, and he really didn't have a lot of enthusiasm for them today, even though they're the number two team in the country. And, you know, UAB is a significant player, but it's still a limited, you know, I mean, but don't give me UAB and Charlotte in terms of television.
San Antonio,
markets. Yeah, because, I mean, UAB is 54 miles from Bryant-Denny Stadium, and, you know, we all know what that means. Charlotte is sitting there. That television market is shared by South Carolina, Clemson, North Carolina, and North Carolina State. So, I mean, that you know, as they say in South Georgia, that dog don't hunt. San Antonio is a nice program, but in the state of Texas, not in terms of where they're ranked right now. Coastal Carolina was ranked, 14th last night before they lost. Sure. In terms of people that care, they're nowhere to be found. And who's the other one from Florida? Florida Atlantic? Is that what he said?
Atlantic. Yes,
please.
Sir. But how about Western Kentucky or Marshall or Louisiana?
You know, I would be more impressed if you went after Appalachian State, Western Kentucky, Coastal, Louisiana. I mean, programs that are really vibrant. But what they clearly did was just rounded up the usual suspects from a television standpoint in urban markets. And I mean, it's fine. I've seen this movie before. It will be. I mean, the league is okay, but it's certainly going backwards. Wouldn't you agree?
I agree 100%. To me, the Sun Belt will probably be more relevant than the AAC now.
Well, I mean, it all depends on what we're talking about. I mean, this league still. Here we have the commissioner. Not long ago, talking about the relevancy of the league based on a team that deserved to be in the playoffs, and now you know one of your league members is knocking on the door of the playoffs, and they're saying we're out of here. I don't think the Big 12 came out of it great, but I mean the Big 12 loses Texas and Oklahoma, and it took Houston, BYU, Cincinnati, and UCF. At least we've heard of those schools from a national standpoint. That's all we're saying. And by the way, if I'm paid a couple of million dollars a year to be the commissioner of the AAC like he is, I'd probably have said the same thing. What's he supposed to say? We got sucker punched. we got pilfered. All of our best schools are gone now. I guess I would have had more respect to you had he done that. Anyway, but you can't do that. That's not the way the politically correct world works. We are heading to a break. We appreciate you being here. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're watching the Paul Feinbaum Show presented by Beef. It's What's for Dinner. And we welcome all of you back. Laurie is up next in Alabama. Hello, Laurie.
Hello, Paul. How are you?
I'm well. Great to hear from you.
Thank you so much. It is so exciting for me to talk to you finally after all these years.
Oh, thank
My
you.
Dad, Bear Bryant, were good friends, and
really?
I've been an Alabama fan all my life. But I really called to talk about the Tennessee fans. When I was in my 20s, I went to a football game with all my Alabama attire, and a Tennessee fan threw a glass full of Jack Daniels and Coke at me. Now, mind you, that was my drink of choice at the time, but I didn't expect that to happen to me. So, and then 2 years ago, I took my husband to a Tennessee game, and I told him, I said, just beware, you know, when we go there, it isn't like going to Georgia or Auburn, even as an Alabama fan, and being welcomed into the family that you're there to watch a game. No one spoke to us. No one said, welcome, we're glad you're here. You know, I know you're an Alabama fan, but we're looking for a good game. They just don't speak to you like that. And, it kind of hurts that – you know, we're all in this. We're all having wonderful times and having fun at games. And, you know, it's just a sport. And that's what it's supposed to be. And we're supposed to be, you know, good soldiers and be nice to people. And, you know, that's just all I wanted to say, that, you know, I think that, you know, we should all just be wonderful and grateful that we're in the SEC and that we're on the top of our game most every year.
Lori, thank you very much. A pleasure to visit. Buck is up next in Kentucky. Hey, Buck. Buck, you there?
Hello?
Hey, go right ahead.
Yes, I am. Well, I'm a semi-follow-up with a little harsher tone to what we just heard. What happened to Tennessee was beyond description. It's the worst thing I've ever seen in 50 years of college football. And, I mean, the attitude seems to be, let's get beyond it, let's get over it, it's over. No, it isn't. That is atrocious, and I'm very concerned about the way you're handling calls on it. Yesterday, a call came in and somebody said I attributed to the bad behavior of Mississippi fans who were visiting. What happened deserves, they should, that is outrageous. The mild penalty they got, $250,000, there's not one fan that will feel a bit of pain from that. I mean, what is going on? That was a violent attack. That wasn't a bunch of drunk students. That was a violent attack. And I mean, the gloss over is just it's appalling. Why wouldn't the SEC basically suspend all fan attendance in the next game and make the fans pay for what they did? What is going on here? I'm lost.
Well, Buck, I'm agreeing with you in terms of your description of the behavior. And I've said this a couple of times, and I realize everyone doesn't watch every minute of every hour, but I was surprised by the head coach at Tennessee, lame analysis of what happened, and if anything, praising fans for moving down to fill the sections where the band and others had departed. I didn't hear any condemnation. And we heard it from the president.
They violently attacked. They attempted to violently hurt. They attacked the opposition, coaches and officials, because they didn't like a call. I mean, that's – and everybody – where is the outrage across America for this? I mean, why are we even having a game this week at Tennessee? Why is there even a game after something like that?
Tennessee is playing in Alabama, but – Yeah, you know, I agree with you in this regard. I think it's a mood issue. I don't think anything else is going to happen.
Well, I mean, that's okay, so we're going to forget about it. That's my concern. Where is the rest of the conference? Why are teams even playing this team? I mean, after an event like that. That's just I'm shocked. I'm actually concerned if anybody from Tennessee calls, the only thing they have to say is, we take responsibility and we feel sorry. But this constant, well, it can happen anywhere, let's get beyond it, it's over, no big deal. This is nuts.
Buck, thanks for the call. We're up against a break.